Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with Zacharias' prayer is answered as we pick up in Luke chapter 1, verse 13. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name Johanan, which means the Lord is gracious. It is shortened to John, but the full name is actually Johanan. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him, that is the Messiah, in the spirit and in the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, the last word of God to man prior to this was in Malachi, the fourth chapter. And the last word of God to man was in Malachi 4:5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. That was the last word of God to man in the Old Covenant period. Prior to the angels meeting Zacharias there at the altar of the Lord. And it is interesting, though the Lord has been silent for 400 years, that very promise, which was the last promise of the Old Testament, is the first word of the Lord in the New Testament, which is the fulfillment of that prophecy, which is about to take place as this child that will be born will go forth in the Spirit and in the power of Elijah. Now there is a lot of confusion as regards to John the Baptist and the prophecy of the coming of Elijah. In John's gospel, we are told that as John was baptizing at the Jordan River, the Pharisees came out and they demanded of him his authority, and who gave him the authority to do these things. They said, are you the Messiah? He said, no. They said, are you Elijah? He said, no. Then who are you? He said, I'm just the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. And yet, here the angel of the Lord tells his father that he will be going forth in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. Now, the confusion exists in the fact that there were two comings of the Messiah. The first coming that we find recorded here in the gospel. The second coming for which we presently wait. And even as Elijah will appear before Jesus comes again, so John the Baptist came in the spirit and in the power of Elijah, and if a person is able to accept it, he was the fulfillment of that promise of Elijah coming before the Lord to cause the hearts of the children to turn to their fathers and the fathers to the children. So the confusion lies in the fact that there are two comings of the Messiah as well as the two comings of Elijah, both of them to prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He was to be as a Nazarene, not drinking wine or strong drink, but filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. In a little bit, we will be studying where Mary, when she received word that she was to be the instrument through which the Messiah was to be born, went to this little village of Judah, the home of Elizabeth, who at that point was 6 months pregnant. And when Mary walked in and greeted Elizabeth, Elizabeth felt the baby leap in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So at that time, no doubt, John was also filled with the Holy Spirit, a prenatal experience, which is quite interesting indeed, even from his mother's womb. Now, though Zacharias had been praying that he might have a son, the prayers had not really been prayers of faith anymore, just of hardly even a glimmering hope. Because when this angel told him that he was to have a son, he didn't believe it. And he challenged the angel. Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years." And the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because you did not believe my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." It is interesting to me that we so often put such great emphasis upon our faith that God will do a certain thing, as though God is almost impotent apart from man's faith to operate or to work. But here with Zacharias, the angel said, "All right, you want a sign? You're not going to be able to speak until the day the child is born because you didn't believe the things that God is going to perform. Whether you believe it or not, God's going to do it. Your unbelief will not stop the work of God. It will not hinder the purposes of God." And so many times they put heavy trips on us, you know, as though God's work is totally responsible upon my hanging in there and believing, and I feel so guilty because maybe I failed God, and thus, you know, people are lost or whatever because I failed God. No, God's purposes shall stand, whether I believe it or not. You see, your believing or not believing doesn't really hinder the work of God. He's going to do what he's going to do in spite of us. And that's sort of comforting, because I'd hate to think that God's work depended on me and my faithfulness. You remember when the children of Israel were threatened with extinction because of Haman's getting the king to sign the decree that all the Jews were to be put to death on a certain day. And Mordecai sent a message to Esther that she should go in before the king and plead the cause of her people. And she responded, "You know, you just don't do that. That's not the protocol of the court. Even as his wife, I can't go in there anytime I want to see him. I can't go in there unless he calls me in. And if anyone would dare to go in before the king not being called, you're putting your own life in jeopardy, because if he doesn't raise the scepter, they'll put you to death immediately." And so Mordecai sent an answer back. "Do you think that if this decree goes through, that you're going to escape? How do you know, Esther, but what God didn't bring you to the kingdom for just this purpose?" And then he said, "If you altogether fail, then their deliverance will arise from another quarter." God is going to deliver his people. His purposes are going to stand. God's going to deliver his people. But you will lose out completely. Now, God's work is going to be done. You may lose out. on those rewards and blessings that you could have experienced had you been faithful. But your unfaithfulness is not going to stop that which God has purposed to do. And so here is Zacharias, filled with unbelief. How can I know this? I'm an old man. My wife's an old woman. What do you mean I'm going to have a son, you know? I am Gabriel. The last appearance of Gabriel to our knowledge on the earth was about a little over 500 years prior to this particular event, when Gabriel appeared to the prophet Daniel and gave to Daniel one of the clearest prophecies concerning the time of the coming of the Messiah. It was Gabriel who said unto Daniel that there are 77s determined upon the nation of Israel to finish the transgression, to make an end of iniquity, to bring in the everlasting righteousness, to anoint the most holy place, to complete the prophetic picture, and know and understand from the time the commandment goes forth to restore and rebuild Jerusalem to the coming of the Messiah, the Prince, will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. The walls shall be built again in troublous times, and after the 69 sevens will the Messiah be cut off and receive nothing for himself, and the people will be dispersed. And so this amazing prediction of the time of the coming of the Messiah was given by none other than our friend Gabriel. Sort of a timeless fellow, because now it's over 500 years later and he shows up on the scene again, probably looking as young and fresh as ever. Announcing now to Zacharias that his wife Elizabeth was to bear the son which was to be the forerunner of the Messiah, as he will go forth in the spirit and in the power of Elijah to fulfill the prophecy of sending the messenger before the face of the Lord. It would appear that as God has set in order the things of the universe, that he probably placed Gabriel as the overseer in charge of the details of getting his son into the world, preparing the people on the earth, preparing Mary, and because it was Gabriel who appeared to Mary, preparing here Zacharias. It would seem that he has a hard time keeping secrets. He appeared 500 years earlier and spilled the beans to Daniel at the time that the Messiah would be coming. And so here he is again on the scene some 500 years later. It'll be interesting to meet Gabriel, looking young and fresh as ever, as he is one of those special angels that God has committed great responsibilities to. And I, for one, am quite anxious to meet Gabriel. Now, I don't expect him to sit on my bed and pet my dog. And for you who have read that book, you know what I'm talking about. Now, the people waited for Zacharias. They were waiting outside for that blessing from the priest. And they marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And so they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and he remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. So because they only served for a week at a time, in just a few days, he left there, Jerusalem, and went to Judah, which is nearby Jerusalem, actually. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself for 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach from among men." Her inability to bear children caused her to be a reproach, but the Lord, she says, has taken that away. And in the 6th month, the same fellow, Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin who was espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Three terms we need to deal with: engaged, espoused, and married. A person could become engaged when they were 2 years old, because for the most part, marriage was by arrangement. So parents would get together, they would be friends. You'd have a pretty little girl, your friends would have a nice little boy, and we're friends with each other. Why don't we have your son marry my daughter? And we make the arrangements. And so here are these little kids, 3 or 4 years old, walking around saying, well, we're engaged. Because the arrangements have been made by their parents that they would have each other as husband and wife. They felt that decisions as important as marriage should never be left to the capriciousness of youth. They felt that young people didn't have enough wisdom to choose their mates. Now, as they became older, and usually they were married by the age of 15 or 16 years old, and as they became older, 1 year before they had the marriage ceremony, they entered into a period known as espousal, where they were as though they were married, in that they were committed completely to each other, but there was never a consummation of the marriage during this period of time. However, once they entered into the period of the espousal, they were considered married to the extent that if the fellow wanted to break it off, he had to actually get a divorce, even though the marriage at this point had never been consummated. So Mary and Joseph were in this period of espousal where they were totally committed to each other and to the marriage of each other, and yet the marriage was not to be consummated until the ceremony at a later time. And so to the virgin who was espoused, she was in this period of the 1 year before the actual consummation of the marriage. To a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel Gabriel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at what he was saying and thought in her mind, what kind of a greeting is this? And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jehoshua, which in Greek is Jesus, but in Hebrew, Jehoshua, which means Jehovah is salvation. Now, you remember in Matthew's gospel, when Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant and he was really troubled by it because they were espoused, he thought he might just give her a bill of divorcement, put her away privately, because if he would expose her publicly, she'd be stoned to death. And the angel of the Lord came to Joseph at night and said, Fear not to take Mary as your wife, for that holy thing which is conceived in her, or that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and thou shalt call his name, she'll bear a son, thou shalt call his name Jehoshua. So both Mary and Joseph were instructed by the angel of the Lord in the naming of Jesus. But when he told Joseph, call his name Jehoshua, he said, for he shall save his people from their sins. So the name is extremely significant because it expresses the mission of Jesus, and that is bringing God's salvation to man, Jehoshua. The Lord has become our salvation. And then the angel Gabriel went on to say, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And of course, throughout the Old Testament prophecies, there was that promise that the Messiah would sit upon the throne of David to order it and to establish it in righteousness and in judgment from henceforth, even forever. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. In the book of Revelation, again, that glorious song that Handel has put to music, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, forever and ever, hallelujah, hallelujah. So the angel is telling about the eternal reign of Jesus Christ.
Return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Luke on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Luke 1 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
God bless you and keep his hand upon your life. May he watch over you daily, and may you be conscious of his presence. Not just a thing from your head knowing, but in your heart experiencing the nearness, the closeness of God. And may you come to that place of a total reliance upon his strength, the acknowledging of your own weakness, the surrendering and the committing of yourself completely into his hands. And thus may your week be blessed and anointed by God. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Undoubtedly, one of the most glaring signs that our society is in trouble is the breakdown of the family unit. Marriages just aren't making it today, and kids are suffering as they watch the breakup of their homes. Those marriages still holding together are often plagued by conflict and turmoil, making the home a battleground instead of a refuge. That's why The Word for Today would like to present Pastor Chuck Smith's Marriage and Family MP3, where Pastor Chuck discusses basic biblical principles to keep a family's love alive. Each member of the family has a different set of needs and responsibilities. And when you know and apply God's principles, everyone in the family can experience real peace, real joy, and an agape love. To order your copy of the Marriage and Family MP3 by Chuck Smith, call The Word for Today at 800-272-WORD or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.